When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wunstead with us. So, Dave, help us out here. So, you got a guy in Thomas Brown who is an offensive coordinator. Well, he's the passing game coordinator, and then he moves into the offensive coordinator role. He's doing a pretty good job, and it took 18 days for him to go from passing game coordinator to the offensive coordinator to the head coach. The jump to the head coach. You've made that jump from defensive coordinator to head coach. What is that like? What is the difference? Explain to us what is the difference of being a head coach, what new responsibilities you have, and how that adjustment takes place.
Well, the first thing that he, and I'm sure he understands this, at the end of the day, every decision, everything that happens, offense, defense, and special teams, you're accountable for, right? I mean, you're going to have to stand at the press conference and answer the questions, nobody else. So the first thing that I would tell them to do is you sit down with Eric Washington, your defense coordinator, and you talk about just the game plan. Okay, yes, okay, but put the game plan aside. Let's just talk about the logistics of how it has to work. Now, I would say, Eric, you know, if we get into this game and I say, hey, let's not blitz anymore, that's my, you know, that's my job, okay? The thing he doesn't want to do is not get into that with them and cross that bridge. And now all of a sudden the game's in hand and Eric wants to blitz him. He calls a blitz. We give up an 80-yard touchdown. We lose the game. And he's standing there and he's saying, thinking to himself, why did we blitz? No. You got to clear that up real quick. Special teams. Same thing with special teams. You got to say, listen, nobody goes on that field. I'll call punt. I'll tell you when I want to kick a field goal. Everybody, just be with me right here. Mm-hmm. So now it's fourth down, and he sends the punt team out. He says, punt now, the special team. If you think there's a good opportunity for a fake, let me know, but I'll decide if we're going to run a fake punt. Nobody yes. else. You know, so, I mean, he's got to go through the pecking order of, I hate to use the word authority, but how you got to be organized on this stuff.
There has to be a leader that's making the call.
How tricky is that dynamic with the other assistant coaches who you used to be one of them, now you're their boss?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's just the way it's got to be to run a football team and be organized with it. And because let me tell you something. McCaskey's and Kevin Warren, they're not going to know the plays that, that he's running. Is he running a counter? Or is he running the lead, the ISO? I mean, but they will know if there's 12 guys on the field. And they will know if the punt team's on the field and all of a sudden you're running the offense out on the field and there's confusion. Those are the things that if I'm talking to Thomas Bryan, I'm going to say, hey, we got to be a smooth operation and we got to be organized. And it starts with me and ends with me. We all got to be on the same page with that, guys, or we're all going to get fired. So, you know, that's the first thing I would address. And then you got to talk to the players and, you know, and you're addressing the defensive guys. It's not offense now. You know, it's a team, it's special teams. You know, you're talking to the guy that is the punter now just as much as you're talking to Caleb.
How about the other aspects of being a head coach, the public front-facing aspect of being the guy as a spokesman for the organization, injuries, injury reports,
yep.
Things that you don't typically have to worry about when you are the offensive coordinator or even the passing game coordinator? How big of an adjustment is that for Thomas
Brown? Well, it will be from a time standpoint. You know what I mean? Because Ryan Poles is going to want to have his meeting with him. And I don't know where Kevin Warren and George are, but they probably have a meeting. So, you know, being very organized with his time from offensive game planning, at some point he's got to sit down with the defense and say, what's your thoughts? You know what I mean?
Yes.
What are the biggest problems this week? And maybe he'll have a thought. Probably not, but he needs to be on board. Special teams. What are we thinking this week? Do they, you know, are they a big, or, you know, where are they at on their returns? Is there anything that bothers you there? Have they run fakes? You know, you got to cover all those things as a head coach, and then go back and make sure that you're spending enough time with Caleb one-on-one, because that's at the end of the day.
Do you know that from Jump Street? Do you know walking in?
Yes.
What to expect? Was there anything that took you by surprise? Was there any aspect of it? And I'm sure you made it. I mean, we all know you would be like, we're not passing the rest of game. We're going to run the football.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Nobody calls a timeout except me, guys.
Right.
Players, I'm 17 years a head coach. I've never had that issue. I mean, there's no gray area on that. You know, no one's going to throw the challenge flag and no one's going to call a timeout. All those things, that's the head coach's responsibility. You're getting input from a lot of different people. You better have good people, which I think the Bears do, but the head coach makes those decisions. You got to be – if you don't like a play call, now he's calling the plays. I talked about blitzing on defense, but it would have been the same thing, you know, even though I was never a fan of – running the option on fourth down against Indy, whoever, and giving the ball to an offensive lineman on the goal line, you know, that falls back on the head coach because Flus was defense. He's listening to those calls, and they're coming in. So I got to say that you agreed with those calls, you know, Flus, that you thought they were good calls, and okay, here we go. But don't you can't come back and say, boy, I don't know, why the hell did we give the ball to an offensive lineman when we're trying to win a game? Are you kidding me? You can't come back and say that afterwards, guys. That's the head coach's job to say, stop it right there.
This segment, Dave Wannstedt, sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. Dave, much has been made about Jalen Johnson's post-game outburst in the locker room with Matt Eberflus there, and we've talked about it, and you wonder what role it played. What did you think of that? And also, did it take you back to any post games when you had players who were maybe not out of control, but certainly very demonstrative and emotional?
Yeah. Oh no, I've had my share, and that happens in a locker room. You know, I don't know what Flus said, and that's why we got to be careful here. Maybe he didn't say anything, you know, but in that situation, you know, we all know he knows he's got to call a timeout. I mean, let's face it. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's got to walk in there in the first rule that you always get into that when I started coaching, you know, as a 22-year-old under Johnny Majors at Pitt, give your players a chance to win the game. You know, give your players a chance to win the game. If it's ever close, do something that you know that they can execute and execute it fast. So, you know, don't come up with some genius play at the end and then turn some guy loose, you know, and a quarterback gets sacked. That's so, you know, with that thought in mind, by not kicking the field goal, we didn't give our guys a chance to win the game.
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that. That would be my first thought in the locker room. Hey, guys, let me tell you something. That's on me. I feel terrible about it, but I didn't give you guys a chance. I did not give you a chance there in the last minute to win the football game. I think if you start off with that and you say it, then if the players can, they get upset, then you got to deal with them. Friendly fire with the team. And let me just say this: I always used to call it football friendly fire, and it usually stirs up. And I've been on some undefeated teams, Super Bowl teams, national championship teams, and a lot of times after great success like that, just as much as the adversity, David, we're talking about, you can get friendly fire within, and it can be offense, defense, special teams, our kickers, our coaches, and the only way to deal with the friendly fire on a football team is meet it head on. You cannot stick your head in the sand. You got to meet it head on and address it and put it out.
Well, I think this goes back to discipline. This goes back to the basics of coaching. I was saying earlier, we were talking about the number of guys that don't mind talking, that feel like they've got a right to get their opinion expressed. There will be coaches that come in that want nothing to do with that.
Right.
They will not want that friendly fire. They will not want people feeling as if they have the right to express whatever thought comes through their head. And they will stifle that. Because that's not for the good of the whole organization. And I honestly think this is a team that has too many captains.
Yeah, now I think of the player things as you brought that up. I my first year here, Jim Harbaugh is my quarterback. And Jim and we had Bobby Christian from Northwestern, Ryan Wettenite, Terry Obey, and then Tom Waddle, who used every ounce of tape that we had in the training room to get him on the field. I mean, Tommy was like our only guy that really got it, and the rest of them were all free agents. They were all on the field at one time, and Jim came over, and he's screaming at me saying, Coach, he says, nobody, no one can get open. And I said, Jim, it is what it is, man. That's what we got. So deal with it. I don't have an answer, okay? So go. And I remember going through that with Jim, and so you have it with players. Zach Thomas screaming at me, Coach, they're putting a receiver on me. I can't cover a receiver. Well, Zach, you know what? Then you want me to put somebody else in there? But this is you got to play it. And this defense, that's the matchup right now. All right, I'll cover him. And he turns and goes in. You know what I mean?
Who's the most confrontational player?
Coach. Who I'm really close with now, and we always get together in Naples and smoke a cigar and work a couple camps, probably Brian Cox.
Yeah. I was telling a story about him.
Oh,
earlier.
God. The first time he threw a helmet, I think it was Green Bay. And, Brian and I had some round. And then we worked together in Tampa for a year, for 6 months. At least I was there 6 months with Shiano. And, Brian and I become bourbon buddies and cigar smoking buddies. Oh, shit.
So, Dave, Kevin Warren clearly is at the front of this organization leading this search, even though Ryan Poles will be the point man. Yesterday, I think we came away with the same impression. If Kevin Warren or Ryan Poles were to ask you, what would you look for in the next head coach of the Bears? How would you answer that?
Well, when you look at the list, you'd like to get a guy that has done it and had success. Okay. Here's what they've got to decide. And I can just give you a little bit of experience with this. Vrabel. I mean, how do you go wrong with Vrabel? Okay, he's a winner. He's done it. He relates well to the players, on and on. Okay, defensive guy. Belichick, take him out of the equation here. He was never high on Caleb. So take Bill, from what I read. I mean, I've never talked to him about it. But, so take him out. So let's just talk Vrabel because he's a defensive guy. As compared to an offensive guy, this is what you run into, guys. This is because I lived it at both places. At the Bears here, we have success early. We go to the playoffs, win a playoff game. The next year, my offensive coordinator, Ron Turner, gets the head job at Illinois. Yep. I got to hire another offensive coordinator, another system. Here we go. Now, fast forward at the Dolphins. We win the division, 12 games, 11 games. My offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey, gets the Georgia Tech job. I hire North Turner. We win 10 games. Norv gets the Raiders job.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, I'm on my third offense and third offensive coordinator. So my point is, if you got a veteran quarterback, you could probably get away with that. But a young coach, you know, you can't – with a young quarterback, you can't be getting Caleb into the – hey, 2 years ago – what did Flus win his first year? I should know this, but I don't. Offhand.
Won three games.
No, yeah. No, no.
Oh, yeah. No, they got
Wait,
killed.
When
yeah.
was Luke Getsy's name? Remember Luke? It was saying who's going to be the next. I remember having that conversation. If Getsy gets a head job somewhere.
Well, the first year, they got killed.
Was
they,
it the second?
They were 3-14.
They were 3-14.
Well, maybe it was because we were leading the league in rushing or something. But yeah. I remember us having that conversation.
It was a ridiculous conversation, Dave.
Okay, well, it was a conversation.
I know.
Because but I remember saying, well, the quarterback coach is Ginocco and this guy is him.
Yes.
I remember the conversation. My point is that here you go, that we didn't have success here. But those offensive guys, everybody's gravitated to the offensive guys that can work with a quarterback. And in today's world, you know, it's the quarterback and it's the young quarterbacks playing. So that's the thing I think that the Bears are going to have to look at.
See, this is why exactly what you're saying is why I didn't understand why they made Thomas Brown the head coach. You know, that they've got something going right now. With Caleb Williams and Thomas Brown, they're working well together. They've gotten better. The quarterback has been able to show that special. I get it. They're not finishing games. But do you need to add more to that plate? Do you need to have the guy come out of the box and stand on the sidelines, do all the things you're talking about doing, and toggling on all that stuff when he was doing well with – all that matters to me is the quarterback. And making sure that he's comfortable in what he's doing. Now you're taking that relationship and you're adding a lot more to the plate of the offensive coordinator. And I just worry, why not a veteran guy like John Hoke, who's been around for a while? You can handle all the big calls. You could let Eric Washington call the defense. You don't have to become a defense coordinator. But just or even, you know, if you went outside the building. I'm not promulgating that they should do such. I'm just saying that seems to make more sense than putting so much on the plate of the guy who's doing a good job connecting with the quarterback.
No, that's a great point, you know, and I would just tell, you know, Thomas Brown, hey, keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing in this situation is Caleb Williams.
But,
you know what I mean?
The main thing is that he's got a chance to be the head coach to take the interim tag off his name if he does well enough.
Yep.
I mean, it's an opportunity for him. And God bless him. I hope he does it well. But at the expense of whatever has been going on with the relationship with the quarterback and the way that worries me. It worries me they've misstepped.
Yeah, I hear you. That's all legit. That's all legit. Is because there's going to be a lot on his plate, and we'll see. We'll see. The worst thing you could do is let the quarterback thing slip and not win a couple games here down the stretch. I mean,
how involved will he be or should he be in as your coaching search begins?
Who's that?
The quarterback.
Oh, I don't think at all. I don't think at all. Maybe at the end when you get down to the final two or three guys, you might say, hey, these are the two guys we're looking at here, and just bring him up. I think you got to be careful there.
Does that make Cliff Kingsbury a stronger or weaker candidate in your mind?
I don't know. What was his relationship with
they were together for a year.
Yeah. Was it good, bad?
He probably knows Cliff Kingsbury better than he will know any candidate that the Bears are going to interview.
And if he had a great relationship with him, I'm sure that he would support him. I'm sure that, hey, they're ready to run Lincoln Riley out of USC, guys.
They pay for the private jet to get him here.
Yeah, they would.
Hey, let me tell you something. I mean, I know Matt Leinart and all those, Reggie Bush and all those guys, and just don't read their Twitter. I mean, they are after Lincoln Riley. And, I don't know. Does Caleb and Lincoln have a good rapport? You guys would know
Followed
more.
Followed him from Oklahoma to
you
USC.
You don't want to interview a guy that would be fired by USC. Would you?
No, I'm just throwing. You started this. You started this with Cliff Kingsbury.
I know. And Cliff Kingsbury is a more viable candidate for the Bears job than Lincoln Riley right now.
Yeah. Okay. Then go hire him. I don't know. We're.
Oh, that's so funny.
I don't know what the relationship is and how much. You know they're going to keep Caleb abreast of it, but early. Not early. When he gets down to the nitty-gritty. And guess what? They're going to – Ryan Poles and whoever's talking, Kevin Warren, whoever talks to him is going to have enough supporting information on their guy that they're going to convince Caleb that he's the guy. You know, I mean, you know how that goes. Hey, let me tell you, it's down to this guy, but we're really thinking him because of this. This is what he's going to do, boy, and he loves what you do here, Caleb, and he loves this, Caleb. Why don't you have dinner with him tonight? And, you know, the guy wants the job. He's going to do the right thing that way.
Does the fact that the division seems right now unconquerable, does that impact any coach coming into a job? Like if you were offered the Saints job and you knew the division was wide open versus the Bears job.
Yes, I would think it would. But I think the overriding thing is, do you have a quarterback in today's game?
How about the way they treated Matt Eberflus on the way out by making him go to that Zoom conference? The perception of the McCaskies and ownership around the league.
No, I think if they offer you the job and you get the contract you want – Agents and potential head coaching candidates will overlook that.
Are there any agents you would not deal with because maybe they had recommended someone who didn't work out? That's a Trace Armstrong joke.
How in the world did the Bears interview 9 people, including Thomas Brown, and give the job to Shane Waldron?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother chapter in the book. I mean, just the hiring, hiring process. No, really, David.
I mean, that's a good question.
That is a good, legit question of the hiring process. Well, how many did they interview before they hired Matt Eberflus?
Any idea? They started with like 10, right?
10, down to 3.
And they got down to 3. But
Ryan Poles wasn't here then, was he?
They gave him three. Jim Caldwell, Dan Quinn, Matt Eberflus.
Okay. And he chose Flusy.
Okay.
And as David uncovered at the news conference, they shared the same agent. It was Trace Armstrong.
You know
very well.
Oh, I know Trace very well.
Couple different stops.
Yeah, Trace was fantastic for me. Yep.
All right, that is Coach Wonstedt. Dave, thank you a ton.
Okay, guys.
Really fun.
Thanks,
talking
Dave.
Over this stuff.
Yep.
It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
The Spiegel and Holmes Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Bears corner Jalen Johnson.
Seeing the way things have went these past few weeks, the last few weeks for me has been the last 5 years of my damn career. So, I mean, I've always been a winner. I'm used to winning, used to playing the game at a high level, and I haven't done that since I've been in a Bears uniform. It hasn't been a lack of talent, this mean, especially this year. It's not any of those things where I can just say, well, we just have a bad team, a bad roster. It's just a certain way of losing that really hurts, and it got to a point for me where I was fed up.
The Spiegel and Holmes Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Whether it's pro or college, the app to bet football, it's Circa Sports Illinois. Circa Sports is sports betting the way it should be. Circa Sports Illinois, high betting limits, low holds, exceptional customer service. Bet on all your favorite teams every game this season. They've got spreads, they've got props, futures, or in-game betting. Circa Sports, they've got it all for you. Fund and bet like a pro from anywhere, anytime, right here in Illinois. Download your new bookie. Carry them with you today at circusports.com. Must be 21 or older. For Illinois problem gambling services, please call 1-877-968-7848.
This Black Friday, shop at Helzberg and get up to 65% off select jewelry, like a unique engagement ring to say,
I want to spend my life with you.
A stylish pendant that says,
I think you're a pretty good catch.
Or Huggy Hoop earrings that tell her,
see, I was listening.
Come to the Helzberg Black Friday sale and get up to 65% off select engagement rings and fine jewelry. A perfect gift designed with the love and care worthy of your story. Visit a Helzberg store or Helzberg.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Holiday the Bob's way and see how much you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Make holiday magic this year with something beautiful and timeless from Diamonds Direct. A stunning eternity band. A pair of classic diamond stud earrings. Something new and eye-catching from a world-class designer. Or maybe you're looking for that perfect engagement ring or a fabulous timepiece. At Diamonds Direct, we have the perfect gifts for the season, starting at around $500. Come and let our experts help you pick out that headliner gift. Or for some fabulous ideas, see the online seasonal gift guide now at DiamondsDirect.com. You can even chat now with a virtual assistant for the ultimate convenience. Whether you connect online or in person, you're guaranteed to get the extraordinary value, ironclad warranties, and white glove service Diamonds Direct is known for. And to help make your purchase even more affordable, we've got special financing so you can spread out your payments. Get directions, details, special showroom hours, and our holiday gift guide now at DiamondsDirect.com. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
How do you spot the all-new Nissan Rogue Rock Creek? Here's a hint. It's got all-terrain tires, a tubular roof rack you can't miss, and it's tough inside and out with lava red detailing. You'll also find it in its natural habitat, climbing mountains, attacking rugged trails, and never backing down from any adventure. The first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek.
Intelligent all-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Always secure cargo. Heavy loading of the vehicle with cargo, especially on the roof, will affect the handling and stability of the vehicle.
It's David Hoff for Window Nation. It's Window Nation's end-of-the-year sale. Get 50% off all styles of windows, a bonus 10% off, plus you could get 0 interest for 6 years. Sale ends December 31st, so book a quote at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
This is Bart Winkler with an Odyssey Sports Minute. I really wanted to hate the NBA Cup. Last week, I was watching a game featuring my team, the Milwaukee Bucks, against the Miami Heat, and it felt like a playoff game. And there's a lot of games with consequence tonight as group play ends. Magic versus Knicks, winner gets in. Same with Milwaukee and Detroit. So many other fun scenarios, it's going to make a usual random Tuesday in December a lot more enjoyable. I'm Bart Winkler.
You're listening to Mully and Haw, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos. Fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com.
people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check your sunroof is closed first before driving through the car wash.
Whoa, no, wait.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
We'll work that out. Yes. And again, Ryan is he's the general manager. He's head of football operations. And so he would have the final say if it ever got to that point. But I'm confident that we will work through it, because the good thing about it, so long as we keep the center of our decisions, what's in the best interest of the Chicago Bears, our players, as we go forward, it will become clear as far as who is the person should lead this franchise from a football standpoint, from a coaching standpoint.
Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kevin Warren at Monday's news conference at Halas Hall talking about Ryan Poles and the decision-making process. And Ryan Poles sat next to him throughout the entire 20-minute exercise. I hesitate to call it a news conference, even a press conference. Questions were limited to 10 minutes. There was an 8-minute filibuster to begin by Kevin Warren and then 2 minutes from Ryan Poles. And Molly, I think that when you saw Ryan Poles sitting there, he definitely came across as meek. He seemed like a weakened GM. And I'm not being facetious, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. But I think that when we read body language, you can tell that there was Kevin Warren, and then there was his
underling.
Yeah. And I think there's no other way to put it. And I wonder this, yeah. Molly, I want to know how significant you think this is. Ryan Poles, when he took the job, this was 2022. His chain of command was he was reporting to ownership. He was reporting to George McCaskey.
Yes.
And I think that that gave him a football guy, right? That kind of autonomy. You're going to shape your roster. You're going to hire your coach. Even if it's an arranged marriage, you're going to have your say. This is your job. This is your team. This is your franchise. Build it. Then Kevin Warren comes. I think it was 19 months ago, whatever it was, but it was in the middle of the Ryan Poles tenure. The chain of command changed. Ryan Poles went from reporting to ownership and George McCaskey to reporting to Kevin Warren.
Yeah.
And I think never was that more apparent
than yesterday.
And I think I wonder in the shift of that kind of reporting protocol and the hierarchy as it is adjusted. How did Ryan Poles, as he sat there yesterday, I was wondering to myself, did he think, what did I get myself into here? And how big is the job now? Because he doesn't have final say.
No.
And it's clear that who's running the show.
Well, I think Kevin Warren went out of his way to claim that he has final say. He did say that he's the point man. And then he did say that we will do what's best for the Bears, but if it comes down to it, well, then he would have final say.
Okay.
He did say that.
Yes, he did.
But, David, as I watched that, I think there were a couple things that went through my head. I thought of him trying to cut guys. He was uncomfortable cutting people. He broke down at one point when he was cutting the safety, who they have since brought back. But I thought about him and Eberflus and their relationship, and they both were clients of the same agent, and they were guys that spent a lot of time together, and they were hanging around, you know, as you saw at the combine, and I thought to myself that now he is sitting there reporting to a different person. He is definitely the underling,
yes,
if you will, and he's going to then be the point man on hiring a guy who is also going to be more powerful than he is. I mean, that, you know,
that's the reality
of it. The coach makes more money than the general manager.
And that's why I think it's worth pointing out and revealing, I suppose, that this is the structure. This is the hierarchy. You have a general manager who now reports to a team president who has taken over. They're going to be in collaboration to hire somebody who will be the second most powerful person at Halas
Hall. That's exactly what's happening.
And so that, to me...
That was the statement of yesterday, that Kevin Warren is the guy in charge. And the statement will be, when they go out and hire a coach, that coach will likely get a five-year deal at about $5 million a year. Who knows? Depending on who they get. And Ryan Poles is probably down to a couple years left at about, I don't have the numbers. I'm guessing $3 million a year.
Maybe he gets a contract extension after this.
Well, but even if he does, he doesn't have the same timeline as this guy. This guy, the guy they hire, will immediately be more powerful as the football guy than the general manager.
I agree with that. That may change, but I agree with that today. Where is your confidence level that what Kevin Warren said about believing in Ryan Poles and he is going to be the general manager of the Chicago Bears, do you feel like that was binding? Well, do you feel like that is a commitment? Did that remove doubt that he will be here beyond the season?
Listen, he was unequivocal about the fact that the guy was the once and future general manager. He said that. He said effectively that he is the general manager and he will be the general manager. So he left very little wiggle room if he changes his mind on that. However, as we talked about, we're going to talk to Jared Payton at 9 o'clock, and I'm really looking forward to it because I recall him going on WGN with Jared, having an interview with him, and it was around President's Day, wasn't it?
You have a good memory. It was February 13th, and this is what Kevin Warren had to say about Justin Fields. I'm a supporter of Justin because I got a chance to work with him when I was a commissioner of the Big Ten. He's incredibly talented. He is smart. He works hard. He wants to be a great NFL football player, et cetera, et cetera. He has a rare combination of intelligence, size, strength, and speed. You forget how big of a man he is until you're up on him. He's not a small man. I just think every year he's going to be continually get better. So I'm glad he's on the Chicago Bears.
And that was 3 weeks before they traded him?
It was about a month before they traded him.
A month. So something can be true in the moment and then not true a month later. There are five games left in this year. There is very little, if anything.
And you're not saying that to be
I'm not trying to be
contrarian. You're saying that based on experience.
I'm just telling you that I recalled the conversation he had with Jarrett. We'll talk to Jarrett about it and what he had to say about Justin Fields. And that's when they were on they knew they had the number one pick and they were on the verge of transferring over to Caleb Williams, and they made him the starter before they even drafted him, for the love of God. They got rid of the quarterback.
But I agree. We came away from that conversation less certain that they were going to pursue Caleb Williams.
That's why I remember
than before he said it.
That's why I remember it.
And it was like, wait a second here.
So I'm just saying, like, I think that you live in the moment and your feet are in the ground in the place you are, as we heard the head coach say. But I also think that things can change.
Sports executives reserve the right to change their mind based on circumstances.
And again, I mean, what he said about Ryan Poles is that he's working every day. He's working on a daily basis to get the Bears better. Every day he's trying to get the Bears better. The reality is that when you are in season, there's not a heck of a lot that a general manager can do to get the team better. You might find a guy on someone's practice squad that eventually could be of assistance to you. You might be able to, but there's not a lot on a day. Most of that
scouting
work has been done. You are worried about the draft. You've got big picks in the draft. You're worried about figuring out, do I extend this guy? I don't want to extend that guy.
What does that do to our cap situation? Let's get that in shape before the end of the season. All these things are December projects for general managers in the NFL. It's not a real active time necessarily.
So apparently what I'm saying is that the team president can change his mind.
Yes, you're saying that. And I don't think it's a radical thought.
And I'm not – I honestly believe that Ryan Poles is the general manager and will be the general manager. And I believe what the guy said, that he's going to lead the search, etc. But, you know, it's a funny old life. And things happen and things change. I wonder how much this job appeals to Ryan Poles, as it may have appealed to him.
That's my point coming into the segment,
3 weeks
because
ago.
We heard from him yesterday, but what we heard wasn't as powerful, I think, as what we saw. you saw somebody who...
He looked dejected.
He looked dejected, yeah. And he looked like somebody who was reeling and recovering from having to fire his friend. And I think that we talked about Ryan Poles getting into his feelings back during the Roquan Smith situation, and we were wondering aloud, loudly, if that factored into his decision to trade him. And I do wonder this. The first thing that Kevin Warren said in praising Ryan Poles was that he was young. And he is, but don't remind us, all right? Because when you say that, you're reminded of what, how inexperienced he remains. He's been on the job for a couple years. And he did seem like somebody who had his feelings hurt and was reacting to having to fire his friend.
And as we said this morning, you don't have to study the Beatitudes to understand that if the guy is meek, he's going to inherit the earth.
That is a reference I did not expect today. A Beatitude reference. I love it.
That was my first reaction when you called him meek.
He shall inherit the earth. Yeah, that's... But and again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Ryan Poles. I felt bad for him yesterday.
It was a rough position.
I felt bad for him.
He was in a bad spot.
You know what they could have done?
And the guy had, it's 72 hours later, and he looked like he wasn't even done, mourning for the coach.
This is what they should have done yesterday. If they wanted to both appear together, fine. But do not put a time limit on it. Do we remember? Am I waxing romantic about the Theo Epstein days? But I just remember after Cub disappointment after Cub disappointment for 2 years in a row, you'd show up and say, you know what? We're going to be here until you run out of questions. And 73 minutes later, we left. They could have done that yesterday easily.
All right. We got to get to Mike Florio. We'll bring in Mike next. We'll ask him who's the best coach out there who wants the Bears job. Is there any reason not to believe that this is the greatest job available in the offseason? We'll ask Mike Florio next of Pro Football Talk. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
We get better and better. NFL insider Mike Florio with Mullion Hall on 670 The Score.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline. Aturo, your hometown all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, it's a whole new world in Chicago. Got a new head coach, got a new offensive coordinator. It's the same guy, although there's an interim offensive coordinator, there's an defensive coordinator. And I don't know. I wonder how attract. We heard the team president come out yesterday in a very flowery, wonderful speech, and blustery. I think we called it, what did we call it?
Filibluster.
A filibluster. And he spoke for 8 minutes, and he said this is the most coveted job in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Well, first of all, I wonder if 90 minutes after the press conference, Kevin Warren at least paused to wonder if he was going to be fired, because that's the kiss of death now in Chicago. No, I think that whether or not it's the most coveted job depends upon a couple of things. First of all, what does the candidate truly think about Caleb Williams? That's how the Bears got Jay Cutler all those years ago. Josh McDaniels took the job in Denver, and his first order of business was to get rid of Jay Cutler. I don't know that he wore that on his sleeve when he interviewed for the job. You need to be able to ferret through the candidates for this job and make sure that this is somebody who truly believes in Caleb Williams and won't work to undermine him and ultimately lay the foundation to move on from him to someone else that the coach wants. So if it's someone who absolutely positively is all in with Caleb Williams, it becomes an attractive job. Secondly, to the extent that firing a coach in season for the first time in franchise history represents a changing of the attitude by ownership, that things are going to be done differently in Chicago. And that's the fairly thick silver lining that I think the organization is trying to highlight, despite the clunky at best timeline from Friday, the idea that the McCaskies, for the first time ever, are firing a coach when they know they're going to fire him after the season. And I'm a firm believer, the moment you know you're moving on from a coach, implement the decision. No one benefits from dog paddling till the end of the season. Get it done now, clear the decks, let the coach move on, and start your search. If that's a sign that things are going to be done differently under Kevin Warren, then that's a good sign and it makes the job more attractive. But it all comes down to quarterback because, look, let's face it, this isn't exactly a cakewalk division. You're walking in to a quartet of teams where you've got the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. I mean, if you've got options in, let's say, the NFC South or the AFC South, you got an easier path to the automatic home playoff game every year. So I would expect Kevin Warren to say nothing other than what he said. Whether or not it really is attractive remains to be seen. And what it comes down to is, can you hire a guy who has viable options elsewhere? Or does that guy say no to you and go to another team? And if Ben Johnson emerges as a top candidate, that's really going to be the question. Can you get him to say yes to you and no to the other teams that are going to be lurking and trying to hire him?
Is Ben Johnson at the top of everyone's list? And would he be reluctant to join the division that you just described? And how does Mike Vrabel fit into that category?
Well, we've got the usual formula for identifying coaching candidates. You've got the rising coordinator who's never been a head coach. And is it a coin flip as to whether or not that rising coordinator is ever going to work out as a coach? It's a very different skill set. It's a different job. It's a different existence to go from coordinator to head coach. Then you've got the former head coaches like Vrabel, who would definitely not let 32 seconds run down to 6 seconds before calling a play and getting a play snapped when a field goal forces overtime. He's buttoned up on situational football just like Bill Belichick is. Then you've got college coaches, and there really isn't anyone who stands out, although Lincoln Riley at least will get bandied about because of the connection to Caleb Williams. There's another avenue, and I raised this earlier today on PFT Live. It doesn't get used nearly enough by NFL teams, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's gentleman's agreement among owners or what, but you can target and you can pursue coaches who are currently employed by other teams as head coaches. You call up the team. The procedure is very simple. If we were to hire your coach, what would the compensation be? You work out the deal. Once you work out the deal on what the compensation would be, you have a green light to contact the coach and see if the coach wants to come work for you. A good coach is worth a draft pick or two. It hasn't happened often in the last 20 years, but I mentioned two possibilities, Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh, as guys that maybe the Bears would want to explore because it feels like both guys are in a spot where maybe they would benefit from a fresh start. Now, for the Ravens, it depends on how the rest of this season goes. But Harbaugh at times, kind of his name bubbles up as maybe it's time. He's been there a long time. And Shanahan, I said this after they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs this past year. I feel like he is on the Andy Reid path where he's never going to reach his full potential unless he goes to a new team. And his dad's from Illinois. There's kind of a, you know,
Franklin Park.
Kind of an appeal to that.
Yes,
but
of course.
The Chicago area. Yeah.
Come home, Kyle.
For conversation purposes, what would you give up to get Kyle Shanahan?
A first-round pick in a heartbeat, a first and
a
second.
Well, and would you give up two?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
First and a second.
How much would you give up to get him? And because I think you should at least have that conversation because the 49ers almost traded Jim Harbaugh to the Browns 10 years ago. Harbaugh ultimately said no or they would have done it. So who knows? If Jed York's thinking about making a change, this might be a great opportunity.
Yeah, Mike, wasn't Belichick famously traded for a first-round pick? Wasn't that the compensation? And how did that work out?
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't the classic utilization of the procedure. He kind of bullied his way out of the Jets. He resigned, and then the Patriots hired him. So there was a decision as to what the compensation would be. But Gruden was traded for two first-round picks and $8 million in cash, and I think maybe even more than that. There have been others, like Herm Edwards, there was compensation when he went from the Jets to the Chiefs. Harbaugh, like I said, was almost traded 10 years ago. It doesn't get used the way it should. And I would at least inquire as to whether or not the 49ers would be interested in doing a deal. Because there's only one way to find out. You make the phone call.
That is a great idea. Honest to God, that's a great idea.
That would be a game changer.
Of course.
In terms of, I think people would bristle at the idea of draft pick that high, but I think it's also you look at the quality of the coach you'd be getting in return, you could justify it easily. That's a great idea, Mike.
Well, hopefully they're listening.
Hey,
you don't need to hire a search firm when you get free ideas like this, right?
You're a one-man search firm, Mike.
I'm going to start calling you Ernie Accorsi. So,
hey, Mike, we'll let you go. I'm just curious. Is Aaron Rodgers, are they going to have to sit him down? Are they going to have to make sure he doesn't get hurt? Are they going to have to make up a phantom injury and just be done with him?
Well, Jeff Ulbrich said yesterday he gives them the best chance to win, so they're going to stick with him. I just think at some point he decides he's not going to play through whatever nagging thing that he has. And if he's going to play next year, there's a certain point where you don't want to get yourself an injury this year that will complicate your preparation for next year. If he's thinking about next year, and I'm keeping an eye on where Bill Belichick goes, because if he goes to a team that needs a quarterback, I don't rule out the possibility of him coming after Aaron Rodgers. He talked last night about him again on the Let's Go podcast, and he said that he thinks that Aaron Rodgers still has some good football left in him, and maybe it'll be with Belichick somewhere, which would be great for our business.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. I tell you what, I don't know why my mind is so small that I didn't think of that, but that's a great idea.
Well, trading for a coach is unorthodox. It's only been used a couple times, but both in every time that it has, it's been for a coach who is worth trading for.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the Bears could justify that.
Well, I mean,
but it takes two to make a trade.
Let's make a deal, David. Let's you and I get on it.
All right.
It's Mully and Haw. We've got Jared Payton next on The Score.